Well, college football's back. ASU's 1-0. So I guess in that context, we should be happy. But the win last night, 41-14, I mean, the score is impressive. But the game at times really was not, Gambo. A lot of penalties, just sloppy play.
Sloppy play, and, like, I'm done with this kicker.
When were you done with him? Was it the first one?
It was the second one. The first miss, it was like, okay. Then they went for two, and then they got a penalty when they went for two. It was like, okay. But the kid ended up missing three extra points. And, the kickoff, the opening kickoff, went out of bounds. They get the ball to the 35-yard line.
Never a good sign.
So that's not a good sign. And then he misses three extra points. I'm like, okay, look, you know, maybe you give him one more game, but you like this, you can't miss those kicks. Like, you can't have a kicker that misses. It's an extra point, okay? Mitch, yeah, who played in a band,
well, he's
can make
those.
Though.
I mean, Mitch, yeah, award-winning Mitch.
Listen, honestly, like, most people can kick an extra point through. Jordan, you ever try it?
No, I have not.
It's not that hard. Now, with the rush and everything coming, but like if I took you to the field right now and I played Charlie Brown and Lucy, you'd be able to kick the ball through.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
You'd be able to kick it through.
Extra point for sure.
If I had you make a 35 yard field goal, you're not making it. You're not going to make it.
We don't know. I've never tested that range before.
You're not going to make a 35-yard field goal.
I feel like this is a challenge. I'm going to train all weekend so I can hit a 35-yard field goal.
You're not hitting a 35-yard field goal.
I heard Luke was good from 40.
Yeah. The problem is when I get
to Jay Feely when I need him.
Zane Gonzalez range, I can't do it.
Luke is not. When none of us are making a 35-yard field goal, okay?
If there's nobody out there blocking me.
None of us right now are making a 35-yard field
goal. You're saying I could never do it, or you're saying I couldn't consistently do it?
I'm saying if I gave the four of us went out to a field right now, and we each had one shot at kicking a 35, okay, we're going 0-4. Well,
one shot, yes, but if you're telling me you get five kicks, I feel like I could maybe get close on one of the five.
We're all going to miss our first one.
That's
if you take 10 of them, maybe you hit one.
Okay, but that's all I'm saying.
But you're not going to, if I put you out there for one, you're not going to make it. Like, this kid missed three extra points. Like, that's like, okay, that's not good.
No.
So they've got Zendejas, you know, you might have to go to Zendejas quickly. His name is Logan Tyler. He struggled. He hit three of his five extra points. He had the initial kickoff out of bounds. I'm sure it's a tough day for him, missing three extra points. But honestly, you can't miss those. It's an extra point. Like, they got to be automatic. They just have to be automatic.
Well, that's the more there's two concerning things coming out of that game last night. We talked about it yesterday. We're like, okay, you're going to go play Southern Utah at home. There's probably not a whole lot we're going to talk about today being like, oh, ASU is unstoppable based on what we saw last night. We thought the running game would be great. It was. You like the defense and its ability to force turnovers. It forced four in the first half. But if you...
Yeah, Darian Butler was great. Like, Darian Butler played great. Those two interceptions were both really good.
Yeah.
One was right when they were about to score. I mean, they were right at the, you know, they were in the red zone. They were, I think, inside the 10-yard line. And he had that one interception towards the end of the first half. There was not that much time left in the first half. They were about to put some points on the board. And he was able to get that interception. So I like the way he played. Tyler Johnson, we don't know. He got ejected for targeting, so we don't know how he was going to play.
Instantly.
But yeah, they moved the ball a little bit on him. I'm not blown away by the ASU's defense. There were definitely signs that they were good and they were aggressive to the ball and they were quick to the ball. They over-pursued a few times, for sure. But the four takeaways, I mean, it's still four takeaways.
But the concerns would be, okay, one, you took a lot of penalties. Are you going to clean that up? Or, you know, we had Jordan Simone on earlier. He's like, okay, you're going to clean it up a little bit, but some of it is that's, you know, this team may just take penalties. This is not the Todd Graham era. And look, I like Herm as a coach more, but Todd Graham had things very buttoned up. They were never going to be they just never got penalties, ASU, under the Todd Graham era.
No, but the Dennis Erickson era was so undisciplined.
They got all of them then.
No, it was just terrible. The Dennis Erickson era was just so many penalties. And I think Todd Graham came in and he, you know, definitely wanted to, you know, fix things up, you know, after Cutter. He wanted to make sure things got better. And so, you know, I think he was much more disciplined. That was, I could write that off for one game. For one game, over-aggressiveness. Guys were hyped up to play. Crowd was great. They haven't played in front of a crowd in a long time. And they were just over-aggressive. I'll write that off for one. Now, if it happens again, that might be a trend, right? So if it happens a second time, you can't just say, oh, they were just over-aggressive again. Okay, that's bad coaching. That's bad playing. That's unacceptable. So if it happens again and it starts costing you, that's another thing. Like, so many of those drives should have ended. Those drives should have ended. But then you roughen the punter, and then you get a face mask penalty. And it's like Southern Utah should have been off the field so quickly, and maybe ASU would have ran up 70 points on them. But so many drives were kept alive by bad ASU penalties.
Yeah, we didn't get to see as much of ASU's offense just because they didn't have a whole lot of plays. I think they had 21 offensive plays in the first
half. Yeah, but that's because they kept allowing Southern Utah to keep drives alive with stupid penalties.
Herm wasn't happy about it after the game.
Told the team after the game that the Sun Devils actually played the Sun Devils tonight. It was bad football. It was sloppy football. It was embarrassing football, to be quite honest. And with that being said, I've never had a bad win. We ended up winning. So with that being said, there's a lot of things we have to improve on, obviously. And when we stop playing the Sun Devils, because they're really not on our schedule, we might have a chance to be a pretty good football team. But tonight we were not. We were not a very good football team.
Yeah, you don't want to play the Sun Devils if you are the Sun Devils. That's an extra game on the schedule you don't get credit for.
No, I think that, you know, what he's basically saying is don't beat yourselves. You know, don't beat yourselves. You know, we've got an opponent across from us. Let's beat them. Let's not beat ourselves by these stupid penalties. And I'm sure he was very frustrated. And you know, at halftime when they interviewed him at halftime, he said the same thing. And after the game, so I like that. You know, that Herm owned it, that it was bad. I think you'll clean that up. I think you'll work on that. You'll clean it up. You'll understand. It's gonna cost you. It's gonna cost you a couple of games if you play like that and you make those type of mistakes against a good team. You know, when you've got them 3 and out, and all of a sudden you keep a drive alive and they turn that into 7 points, that could end up coming back to burn you.
The glass half full approach to that would be: this is why you play Southern Utah in your first game.
True.
Now, as a coaching staff, you can say, okay, we need to clean this up, and we have it on tape in an actual game. It didn't burn us in the win loss column where it's going to hurt you at the end of the year trying to get into, you know, the Pac-12 championship or whatever. Like if ASU had opened up against LSU, like UCLA has already played a game, but if their first game was LSU tomorrow and they played like that, they would have got smoked.
No. I mean, look at Ohio State. Like, as good as Ohio State is, man, they really struggled against Minnesota last night. Like, that game was in doubt for a while. I thought Minnesota was going to win. That running back from Minnesota, they couldn't stop him. That was not an easy first game. So, like, I understand that you want to play, you know, you want to play a little bit of a patsy and a team that you, because you kind of want to work out the kinks, right? Iron out the kinks.
Yeah.
You want to try to kind of go, okay, now we know what to do. We'll practice better. We'll be ready for the next game.
Do you see this game on right now? North Carolina getting shut out? Number 10, North Carolina.
Wow. Is that in Blacksburg?
Yeah, and we're late third quarter now. It's 14-0 Virginia Tech.
How about that?
That's also one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year for North Carolina.
He's got 78 yards and an interception, Sam Howell.
Is that what his numbers are?
Yeah. Right now he's up to 83. 7 for 13 for 83 yards and an interception. 14-0 Virginia Tech with 5 minutes to go in the third.
Enough of nothing. I never think of North Carolina as a football power, so seeing them ranked that high is kind of strange.
Mitchell Trubisky is shaking his fist at the air right now.
No, I mean, come on, North Carolina. It's a basketball school, for goodness sakes. When do you ever think about North Carolina football?
Mitchell Trubisky is the guy I think of, but
can
in a joking way.
Can you name five other players that played for North Carolina in football? No, you can't. You can't kick a 35-yard field goal.
Well, now it's up to 39. I mean, that's obviously, my range stops at 36 yards. No, I can't. There's got to be a couple. Who was the guy that played like tight end and also played, it was like Ronald Curry?
Eric Ebron.
Julius Peppers.
Yeah,
he was from North Carolina.
Julius Peppers was good. Yeah.
That's about it.
Wait, did that T.J. Logan play at North Carolina?
I thought he was NC State.
I thought he was North Carolina.
It might have been NC State.
Was he North Carolina?
I thought it was North Carolina.
Maybe I'm wrong.
T.J. Logan.
All right.
Look T.J. Logan up.
I will look him up then.
I think he might have.
Look that up. I'm going to go to break.
Yeah, because I can name like three players from North Carolina.
He was a Tar Heel.
There you go. Yeah, we got three. I can't get to five.
As we made fun of them, they just scored. So now it's 14-6.
Was it a touchdown pass?
Yeah. No, it was a
Run?
It was. No, it was a reception. 37-yard reception.
There it is.
Wow,
okay.
Look at that. Okay. Bix Picks is back for the 2021 NFL season. Text Pick to 620-620 to sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill courtesy of Modelo Especial. Weekly winners will receive a $100 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. So text Pick to 620-620 to enter. When we come back, the NFC West team that's generating the most preseason buzz it's at least not the team I would have picked, and it's getting, they're just getting more and more momentum. It's Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right, it's not a story I'm sure Cardinals fans love, but NFL.com, and they're not the only ones.
Why not? Let everybody pick against them.
Yeah, well,
no, really.
They are.
That way you can give the middle finger to everybody if they do well.
Well, everybody is picking against the Cardinals. That's not even totally where I was going. That's part of it, I guess. But NFL.com, and this maybe rubs salt in the wound, did their Super Bowl predictions, and I'm trying to find out exactly how many they had. A decent amount of analysts picking, okay? So, like, the first one was, okay, it's just who's going to win the Super Bowl? And the team with the most votes was Kansas City. It looks like Kansas City got 11 votes, okay? The second most popular pick to win the Super Bowl was San Francisco.
Kevin Patra, Bills, 49ers over the Bills. Adam Rank, 49ers over the Browns. Greg Rosenthal, 49ers over the Ravens. Mark Sessler, 49ers over the Bills. Lance Zierlein, 49ers over the Chiefs. And I think there was even another guy that had him losing. Yeah, Gennaro Felice, Bills over the 49ers. So the 49ers are a trendy pick to go to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl by a lot of people. And I just, listen, I don't get it. But okay, if you want to pick them, who's going to be their quarterback in these playoff games? Is it Jimmy Garoppolo or is it Trey Lance? Who's going to be? They don't even know who their quarterback is for week one. They do, but we don't know. So who's going to be their quarterback that's going to lead them to the Super Bowl? It's not like I dislike the 49ers as a team. They're extremely talented. I mean, defensively, you know, I mean, Bosa, he was great as a rookie. Then he tore his ACL. Javon Kinlaw's a stud. Arik Armstead's a stud. That Fred Warner's, like, there's plenty of good players on that team. George Kittle is an unbelievable tight end.
True.
Brandon Ayuk had a great first season, 60 catches, most in franchise history for a rookie. So there's a lot to like. Their offensive line is loaded. I mean, Alex Mack, they just got, he's great. Trent Williams is great. So I can make an argument for that I like a lot of what they do. The question simply is, do they have a quarterback capable of taking them to a Super Bowl? You know, no rookie quarterback's ever taken a team to a Super Bowl. It's never happened.
Yeah, and that's, I made this point earlier. Like, if San Francisco wins the whole thing, that would almost shock me less than this many people picking them to win the whole thing, if that makes sense. Because, if you're using any logic, you're using the logic you just put out there. It's a rookie quarterback. Or it's Jimmy Garoppolo, who I don't think is bad, but he's not really going to win you a Super Bowl either. And
problem
I get it.
The problem with Garoppolo, too, is he's hurt a lot.
So it probably is going to be a rookie quarterback.
I mean, he's missed 23 games in the past 3 years. 23 games in the past 3 years. Jimmy Garoppolo making it through a season? I don't know. So Trey Lance, you know how many games he played last year? One.
One college game.
Played one college game last year.
Yeah.
Like, is he going to, like, I don't care how good your team is. If your quarterback plays not up to par, you're not going anywhere.
You could be a good team. You could be a good team and not win the Super Bowl. Like, I think San Francisco is a very good team. I think they're probably a playoff team.
Yes.
But to pick them for that many people, like, that's more people than pick the Bills, than pick the Buccaneers, than pick the Rams. I think the Rams are better than San Francisco because I at least know who their quarterback is.
Yeah, I think Matthew Stafford's going to be an upgrade over Jared Goff. And obviously their defense is loaded. The problem with the Rams, if you look at their depth, they don't have any. They spend so much money on their top-end guys that they just don't have any. They couldn't afford anybody for their depth. So their depth guys are cheap guys. And I don't know, if they can overcome injuries. So for the Rams, that's what my concern would be, is I don't know if they could overcome injuries.
But nobody's picking the Rams, at least on this one page that we're looking at. But it's NFL.com.
Adam Schein's got the Bills over the Rams. Let me see if anybody else has the Rams.
A couple people have the Rams winning it, but I mean,
okay.
Not nearly as, so what?
Marcus Grant, Rams over the Chiefs.
Maurice Jones-Drew, Rams over the Chiefs.
Brooks Cercimo, Rams over the Bills. Maurice Jones-Drew, Rams over. So there's a few people that have the Rams. Anybody have Seattle?
No.
Nobody, huh?
It's funny, I'm scrolling down, right? So it's in order of popularity, it's the Chiefs, it's the 49ers, it's the Bills, Rams, Buccaneers, Green Bay, Cleveland, at the very bottom, the Raiders. I was like, who would pick the Raiders? David Carr.
I'm going out on a limb. I think Seattle sucks this year. I think Seattle takes a big hit.
sucks like last place in the
division.
I mean,
like, I don't know, if they won 7 or 8 games, that would be sucking for them. They always win 9, 10, 11 games and go to the playoffs every year. I think this is the year where Seattle, this is it. I think this is when they fold. This is when they fall apart. I don't like Seattle. I love Russell Wilson, but I don't like Seattle. I think Seattle could end up in last place in this division.
If they were to suck, do you think Russell Wilson would force his way out next offseason?
Maybe.
Because then that would be the end of Seattle's run.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I just don't think that they could be any good. I mean, their offensive line is terrible. Their defense is terrible. No defense, no offensive line. He's going to get killed back there again. They didn't really address their offensive line. So I'm not I think this is the year. No, we're so accustomed to Seattle always winning, you know, 9 or 10 or 11 games and going to the playoffs. So everybody just kind of puts them right in there because they're perennially, is that a word?
Perennially, a
top team in the NFC West. But I'm not buying Seattle this year. I think Seattle could end up as the worst team in the West.
They were supposed to drop off last year, and they went 12-4.
They've been supposed to drop off for a long time. Yeah. They just keep winning games.
Don't drop off.
This will be the year. I think Seattle drops off this year.
Well, I think that gives the context to why picking the 49ers to win the Super Bowl seems so ridiculous to me. It's not that they're a bad team.
Maybe it's an NFC West thing.
But it's tougher. Because, look, you only have one team that gets a bye now, a first-round bye in the playoffs from each conference. I'm guessing that team's not coming out of the NFC West just because whoever it is, you got to go through Rams, Cardinals, 49ers, Seahawks twice. So probably whoever wins the NFC West, I don't know, they're like 12-5 maybe. That's not going to be enough to get you the number one seed. Like Tampa Bay or Green Bay, those teams, even if they're not as good, they have the inside track to getting the number one seed because their divisions aren't nearly as good. I didn't mention anybody from the NFC East because they're all awful.
You guys should seriously make me have to buy everybody a pizza. Do you know my favorite college, my favorite NFL player of all time went to North Carolina?
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay, we're getting pizza out of this.
I should have to buy everybody lunch.
Who's your favorite?
My favorite football player of all time went to North Carolina. What the hell was I thinking?
And North Carolina's scoring and hitting extra points. They're just showing off now.
Well, Virginia Tech may have just put this game away. They just went up by 2 scores with a huge field goal. Lawrence Taylor went to North Carolina.
Yeah, that's a good answer. He was decent at football.
LT, the greatest defensive player that's ever played the game. LT went to North Carolina. I'm bagging on North Carolina, forgetting that my favorite player ever. I have a football signed by him in my office.
Yeah, but in your defense, that was, 40 years ago? I mean, it's not like this was a recent player.
I know.
The Julius Peppers one, that's 20 years ago.
I know, but I failed to mention that Lawrence Taylor went to North Carolina. I'm bagging on North Carolina being ranked number 10, saying they don't put any guys in the NFL. My favorite player ever went to North Carolina. LT went to North Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the list now of the best North Carolina players.
Yeah, they don't put anybody in the NFL.
Obviously, he's light years. You know, your original question was, can you name 5 North Carolina players that have played in the NFL? And if we sat here off air, I probably could. But just because Lawrence Taylor went there doesn't mean there's there's not a ton. And you got Julius Peppers.
I got TJ Logan.
He's not even on this list.
And I got Eric Ebron.
Yeah, I don't know how you got those two. Giovanni Bernard, Natron Means. Remember Natron Means?
Of course, with the Chargers.
Lawrence Taylor, Mitch Trubisky, but they didn't even put his full name out.
I don't think I would have got five. I would have got stuck at 4.
Javonte Williams is supposed to be good this year as a rookie.
Lawrence Taylor.
That's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
For all of us.
I have to buy everybody for lunch.
Yeah, well, now it's too late. It's already almost dinner time. All right.
Scott Sutherland won't buy you lunch, but I will.
I'll believe it when the pizza's in front of me. All right, when we come back, big weekend for college football across the board. We'll get into that. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
We're eating candy out of a vending machine for lunch today.
Well, ASU helped kick off the college football weekend last night, Gambo. We got some pretty impressive top 25 matchups. We got North Carolina going on right now, number 10 North Carolina, playing Virginia Tech, so not a top 25 matchup, but losing by 10 with 13 minutes to go and not looking good at all. We're watching it here in the studio.
Yeah, that's that would be a shock right now. Mack Brown in North Carolina could go down in the first game of the season in Blacksburg against Va Tech. So 17-7 they're down, but moving the ball right now. So we'll see if they Still plenty of time left. But they got to probably score in this possession and get a stop and get the ball back. But we'll see if we get an upset of a top 10 team right away.
Yeah, Sam Howell's the quarterback who a lot of people think might be the first pick in next year's draft. He's 12 for 20 for 149 yards, a touchdown, an interception. He's getting blitzed seemingly on every play that we're watching.
Yeah, right, Jordan's now been watching the game saying he's just got no time. He's got no time to throw the football. But, yeah, I mean, for a guy that might be the top pick, he's got 7 points right now, and it's in the fourth quarter.
I just think it's weird to watch a game where they run two consecutive plays without a flag.
Yes.
That's a completely different sport.
God, you would think in that game, like, God, this game's going to take forever.
Yeah. I don't know how
it's going to take forever. The reviews, and because you got to review like the targeting play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to review that. And, okay, I got to tell you right now, you don't need to review it. Just throw them out of the game.
Seriously,
just throw them out of the game. You're good. Like, but you got to review all of these things. Oh, those are the games that just suck because college football in general takes a long time. It just takes so much longer.
Yeah. I mean, if it's your team, you're invested, that's fine. But I don't think anybody that isn't an ASU fan was watching that game very long.
Yeah, I don't know how many ASU diehard fans watched the entire game from start to finish either. I think a lot of them bailed out like sometime third quarter or early fourth.
Yeah, after the Pearsall touchdown probably. We got a couple matchups this weekend that are two top 25 teams. You got Indiana and Iowa, 17 and 18. You got Penn State, Wisconsin, 19 and 12. But then you got, to me, the two headliners, Gambo. Number one, Alabama against number 14, Miami.
Yeah, I'm tired of Alabama. I want them to lose so bad. They've got their new quarterback in Bryce Young. I mean, he was the top quarterback in that 2020 class. I mean, he was fantastic. Matter Day High School in California. The kid was great. But now we'll see. You know, we'll see if you know, Nick Saban's team, and I went over this with you earlier. I was just looking at top picks, you know, from the draft last year. I mean, Alabama lost so many good football players. Here's guys, top three rounds. This isn't the whole draft. Top three rounds. Jalen Waddle, Patrick Surtain, Devontae Smith, Mac Jones, Alex Leatherwood, Najee Harris, Landon Dickerson, Christian Barmore. And yet, like, they're ranked number one again. It's amazing, like, the talent that they have on that roster that Nick Saban could lose so many great players every single year. Plus, they lost their offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, left to go to Texas. So he's out. So now we'll see if Alabama can win.
You talk about, can you name five North Carolina players in the NFL? You just rattled off how many Alabama players from the first three rounds draft.
Half the damn NFL is SEC players. Well,
So the first two guys you read off, Waddle and Surtain, and then it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, this guy won the Heisman and Devontae Smith. This guy's the starting quarterback for the Patriots already, Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Najee Harris can be the starting running back for the Steelers. That's all just from the first three rounds of one draft.
Yeah, they lose Sarkisian. Bill O'Brien is the new offensive coordinator for Nick Saban. They just keep winning. But it's the same. It's the one thing about college football that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It's the same teams. Like, if I told you right now, I can predict three of the teams that are going to be in the college football playoffs, I would get it right.
Yeah.
I'll take Alabama. I'll take Ohio State. And I'll take Oklahoma. I'll take those three. And if I have to pick four, I'm going to get three out of four. I could throw one more in. I could throw Clemson or somebody in. I like Georgia this year. Like Georgia.
Georgia's got Clemson tomorrow. That's the headliner. Georgia number five, yep. Clemson number three. And to your point, I mean, that's why I started to get a little down on the NBA a few years ago when every year going in, you knew it was going to be Golden State and Cleveland. And that series was great, but the rest of the 82-game season, and it didn't help that the Suns were bad at that point, was just kind of like, all right, this is just sort of whatever to get to the same point. College football, to your point, is the one sport I can think of where I like the regular season more than the playoffs. Because the playoffs is just, okay, here's Alabama, they're going to beat Oklahoma, and here's Clemson, they're going to play whoever, and then they're going to lose to Alabama.
The bowl games, which I used to really like, gets diminished when you have like more and more teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because the bowl games were fun, like the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, all those games were fun. But once you have a playoff, like, you diminish the importance of the bowl games. But I like, one of the reasons I like Georgia, and I told you earlier, look at their schedule. Like, they don't play Alabama, they don't play LSU, they don't play Texas A&M. So if they get by Clemson, man, smooth sailing. They got Florida. Like, that might be a tough game. But I like Georgia. I like their ability to win that game against Clemson and then go on and probably, I don't know if they go undefeated, but I think Georgia can end up playing in the SEC championship game, and if they win that, then they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, they definitely play those, like, forgotten SEC teams like Vanderbilt and Kentucky and Tennessee now at this point.
That was the issue with that one guy who said we should have like relegate teams.
Yeah. That was Rick Neuheisel. I love this idea. It'll never
because,
happen.
Like Kentucky and Vanderbilt, like they just reap the benefits of being in the SEC to get the same television money as everybody else.
Yeah. They don't contribute anything.
No.
They're just located there.
Yeah, we're located here and you guys could beat up on us every year. We're not gonna win anything. If you're Alabama or LSU, you want some of those patsies. You want some of those easy weeks to where you could play your backups and you don't want every single game to be a crazy tough game. But Kentucky and Vanderbilt benefit from the SEC being in the SEC, and they reap the benefits by getting all that money.
Love that idea. Just pair up five smaller conferences with the Power Five conferences, and the bottom team drops, gets relegated down.
Just like soccer. European soccer.
The best thing about soccer, and we could easily take it here, but we never will. That Clemson won's the game, but the Alabama matchup is at least interesting because Derek King is back from Miami. I mean, if you're gonna catch Alabama, like you said earlier, probably better to do it in week one when they're replacing all their new NFL players than 8 weeks into the season when they're just steamrolling everybody.
Hey, by the way, this kid just blew his chance to be the number one overall pick.
Sam Howell?
Yeah, look at this.
That had to get tipped. If that's how he throws, he's not going to be picked in any
draft. No, it got tipped. It got tipped and he got picked off.
North Carolina just intercepted Virginia Tech on the previous play. So it was back-to-back interceptions.
Back-to-back interceptions?
Wow.
12 minutes left. North Carolina's about to go down. What game you like this week, Jordan?
How can you not be pumped up for Clemson, Georgia? And then I totally overlooked the Alabama-Miami. Now, I'm not expecting Miami to beat them, but that's an intriguing week one matchup.
Well, you got a young quarterback. I mean, if you make some mistakes, then possibly. Like, Ohio State didn't play well yesterday. That's C.J. Stroud. I wasn't impressed with him. You know what? I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to watch U of A tomorrow night.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yuck?
Yeah, exactly what I said. Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I meant.
You are doing a regular talk show host on a regular basis now. Sometimes you're going to have to talk about U of A.
No, I don't mind talking about U of A.
You just can't root for them.
Well, first of all, tomorrow I'll be at the D-backs game anyway. So, no, I absolutely can't root for them. If that game is close, I'll watch the end of it.
Vinny openly roots against U of A, right?
Yes, he does. Yes.
Who else is he? Any other ASU guys? Bickley's not.
No, I mean, there's actually a lot of U of A people here.
Burns, he was more of an NAU guy than he was anything else.
Yeah, that was probably Bird's influence. You talked to Bird long enough, you're all in on NAU. And
tough loss last night. Oof.
Oh, did they play last night?
Got dominated by Sam Houston.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, my God, that's embarrassing, the lumber jokes.
Well, they did lose to the number one team in the country in the defending national champs.
They lost 42-16.
Yeah, we kept it within 40.
They were at home. They were at home.
That, besides the elevation, playing in front of 3,000 fans doesn't really mean much.
Man, where's Archie Amerson when you need him?
From your mouth to God's ears.
Man. I tell you, to be completely honest, for the last 3 hours of the show, I've been trying to learn how to pronounce that linebacker's name that Jordan Simone was talking about on Southern Utah last night.
Did you get it?
His last name has 18 letters in it, so it's a little bit tough.
Man, the lumber jokes got slaughtered last night. Damn.
Kaho Ohano Davis.
I think he's the guy that forced it. Did he force a fumble? I think he might have forced that fumble.
He was a monster last night. Yeah, he had a sack, 11 solo tackles.
Yeah, he was all over the place.
Yeah.
He played pretty good. So big games this week.
Yeah.
You saw Ohio State beat Minnesota last night. Clemson's playing Georgia. Penn State is playing as at Wisconsin and Alabama, Miami. And then U of A. John Wilner had a column, and he thinks that U of A is going to beat BYU. He's got a couple of reasons. BYU's overrated. He says preseason support for the Cougars, as with most teams, is based on what happened last season and how many star players have returned. And he talked about that they won 11 games, but they lost Zach Wilson. They lost other players. And he says that Arizona's underrated. He says, we do not believe the Wildcats are a bowl-caliber team, not by any stretch. If they win 5 games, Fish will have earned 3 years of pay. But they have talent. So he thinks that Arizona takes down BYU tomorrow.
See, I reserve the right to change this over the next year or so. I said this yesterday. I kind of like Jed Fish. But even if he's going to be a good coach, he doesn't have his players there yet. So if they beat BYU tomorrow, like, I'm not going to be shocked. It's not like BYU is a powerhouse, but that would be an impressive win for U of A, and it would make me unhappy. But I do kind of like Jed Fish. I like his attitude. I like his pedigree coming in to coach that program, too. Like, I feel like that's pretty close to exactly what they needed. But I don't think you turn it around in one offseason. Like, that's going to take some years.
No, this, it's always tough for a coach coming in when he's got all these senior players. You know, when Cutter replaced Snyder, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Cutter replaced Snyder, like, he didn't care about those guys that were on Bruce's team. Like, he didn't care that you had these players that were seniors and stuff. And so, you know, he kind of gave up on those guys. And it's tough. Those guys have been in the program for a while, and then they had a new coach. And, you know, that those coaches want to play the younger players. They want to start developing those guys. And so this will be interesting to see what Jed Fish does. I mean, he's got to play some of the younger guys to build them, but, you know, you also don't want to turn your back on some of the players that have been there and decided to stay with you, so you still have a team this year.
Yeah, exactly. Text us your thoughts on arguably the biggest college football weekend in, like, since 2019 to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, we'll talk about the ASU running backs, definitely the brightest spot from last night's win over Southern Utah. That's next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So we talked about some of the negatives to come out of that ASU game last night, but Gambo, clearly the main positive, other than getting the win, and it's not a surprise, but at least it was good to see Rashad White, Chip Traynham go out there and look absolutely dominant.
Yeah, because they're two really good running backs, and Nagata got an opportunity. I think he got 11 carries and scored a touchdown, so I think they're very deep at the running back. I think they got three guys very capable. They've got a good offensive line. They're going to run the ball. Jaden was accurate. He was 10 out of 12. He ran the ball for 40 yards, but there's going to be teams that simply say, I'm going to load the box. I'm going to put 8-9 guys up here, and I'm going to dare you to run the football. Like, I'm going to dare you to throw the football. You know, I'm going to try to stop the run. I'm going to try to keep Jaden and Traynham and Nagata and White from killing me. And I'll see if Jaden Daniels, you know, with this group of no-name wide receivers, I'll see if those guys can beat me. So, it's going to come. It's going to happen. You're going to see teams that load the box and try to stop that run because ASU doesn't have N'Keal Harry out there. They don't have Brandon Ayuk out there. They've got a bunch of unproven wide receivers. I think Ricky Pearsall could be pretty good. I think LB Bunkley Shelton could be pretty good. But these guys are not established wide receivers yet.
Now, what you hope is that over the course of the season, because what you're saying is true. I mean, teams, as we get deeper into the Pac-12 schedule, teams are going to be like, look, we got to stop these two running backs. That's where everything starts with ASU. You hope over the course of the season, not that Jaden Daniels necessarily evolves because he already is a good quarterback, but just that he has the trust in some of these targets because none of those receivers really got to play much last year because the team didn't play much.
No, and would you get 10 passes last night from Jaden Daniels? Mm-hmm. He left the game. Obviously, third quarter, he cramped up. They brought the backup quarterback in, but you got 10 passes out of Jaden Daniels. You know, there was the fumble by the Johnny Wilson kid. He caught a ball and then fumbled it. That wasn't good. I like Hodges. I think he could be pretty good. But I don't know if they're going to have, like, at some point, somebody will establish themselves as the number one wide receiver. But we don't know who that is right now.
No, we don't. And we've been spoiled the last 2 years. I mean, you have Brandon Ayuk going in the first round. You had N'Keal Harry go in the first round. Harry was dominant when he was at ASU. Ayuk's probably the better NFL player. He already is the better NFL
yes.
player. And now, you know, we talked about it earlier, I like Ricky Pearsall. I think he's going to be a real steady, good college receiver. Maybe someday he makes the NFL, but he's not dominant like those guys.
No, I don't, and that's a big question. We don't know. We don't know. Like, so that's where Jaden will get tested. Can Jaden, there will be times when teams will say, Jaden, you got to beat us. You got to beat us with your arm. There will be a couple of games this year where teams will line up to stop Traynham and White, and they'll see if Jaden can. Now, if Jaden can beat them, well, then you'll take some of the pressure off those running backs. The running backs are dominant. They are. They're dominant running backs. The offensive line is very good. We know that. But even with that, there will be some defenses that will sell out to stop the run, and that's where we'll really find out, you know, how much improved Jaden Daniels is.
So happy Traynham chose ASU instead of Ohio State. Ohio State does not need another running back like that. They've had enough. All right, let's get to the D-backs on deck show.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Grilled Cheeseburger for a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
All right, D-backs Mariners tonight. They never play the Mariners, Gambo, and now they play them six of their next eight games.
I think this is Luis Gonzalez's birthday today.
Is it really?
I think it's Gonzo's birthday.
Well, he'll be there tomorrow for the celebration. He's always there, but I mean the celebration tomorrow of the 20th anniversary of the World Series. That's going on tomorrow. The pitching matchup is brought to you by Berg Simpson. When the game is on the line, you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers changing lives. It's Madison Bumgarner on the mound for Arizona tonight against Tyler Anderson from Seattle.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Gonzo. Today's his birthday. 54 years old for Gonzo. Welcome to the 54 Club, by the way. I'm in that too. Yeah, Bumgarner, he's pitched extremely well since he's come back. He's been great for them. Last five home starts, he's got an ERA of 1.65. He's only given up six runs in 32 and two-thirds innings in his last five home starts. So he has been very, very good for them. So, matter of fact, they even had my kid pick him up in fantasy baseball because he was pitching so good.
Wow.
I went ahead and did that. So, you know, Bumgarner on the mound, you know, proven, you know, this year. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him next year, if they struggle, if they could trade him or not. But he has come back and pitched extremely well after some of those early struggles that he had.
That's funny, because I picked him up in fantasy baseball before his last start, and it was maybe his worst of the year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I told my kid to get him, and he didn't pitch that well.
It was terrible. Yeah. And then Bumgarner after the game was like, it was absolutely his worst. He said going out there, he knew he didn't have it.
Yeah, like, better pitch awesome. Better tonight.
How about the MLB standings brought to you by PNC Bank Financial Tools and Tech to help make things easier. The D-backs 45-90 on the season. So counting tonight, they've got 27 games to go. If you're into that race with Baltimore for last, Baltimore is 41-91. So the D-backs are 2.5 games ahead of them. In the
no way to not lose 100 games. Just, this is no way. They're going to lose 100. The question is, how many more than 100 do they lose?
Yeah. You go 500 the rest of the way, you're still going to lose over 100. You're going to lose like 104 if you do that.
Right. If you play 500. They haven't played 500 all year.
No, they haven't.
And now if you play 500, you lose 104.
Yeah. All right. It's time for the keys to the game.
Listen, man. I'm a huge key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs Keys to the Game, brought to you by Sell2Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to Sell2Sands.com today.
Key to the game is Ketel Marte. Nobody in baseball is better against left-handed pitching than Ketel Marte. He's batting .427. That's his average, 32 for 75. Leads the majors. He's ahead of Trey Turner and David Fletcher, Buster Posey, Charlie Culberson. His bat against left-handed pitches has been lethal. They'll need him tonight against the lefty Tyler Anderson.
Facing his old team, too.
That's right. So that is the key to the game. Hey, I want to wish Luke the best because he is going to start his new show Tuesday. Luke and Wolf from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We will be tuned in and listening to you. So all the best to you. Thanks for filling in this week, and best of luck on your new show.
Thanks, Gambo. I appreciate it.
All right, we will be back on Tuesday, 2 o'clock sharp, right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great night, everyone.